Chapter 5. The battle data from the Wustry system scrolled to the bottom of the datapad and stopped.
I still don't believe it,
Leia said, shaking her head as she laid the datapad back down on the table.
If the Empire had a superweapon that could shoot through planetary shields, they'd be using it in every system they attacked. It has to be a trick or illusion of some kind.
I agree,
Mon Mothma said quietly.
The question is, how do we convince the rest of the Council and the Assemblage of that? Not to mention the outer systems themselves?
We must solve the puzzle of what happened at Yukio and Wustry,
Admiral Akbar said, his voice even more gravelly than usual.
And we must solve it quickly.
Leia picked up her datapad again, throwing a quick look across the table at Akbar as she did so. The Mon Calamari's huge eyes seemed unusually heavy-lidded. His normal salmon color noticeably faded. He was tired, desperately so. And with the Empire's grand offensive still rolling toward them across the galaxy, he wasn't likely to be getting much rest anytime soon. Neither were any of the rest of them, for that matter.
We already know that Grand Admiral Thrawn has a talent for understanding the minds of his opponents,
she reminded the others.
Could he have predicted how quickly both the Yukians and the Wustroids would be to surrender?
As opposed to, say, the Filvians?
Mon Mothma nodded slowly.
Interesting point. That might indicate that the illusion is one that can't be maintained for very long.
Or that the power requirements are exceedingly high,
Akbar added.
If the Empire has learned a method for focusing non-visible energy against a shield, it could conceivably weaken a section long enough to fire a turbo laser blast through the opening. But such a thing would take a tremendous power output.
And should also show up as an energy stress on the shield,
Mon Mothma pointed out.
None of our information suggests that was the case.
Our information may be wrong,
Akbar retorted. He threw a brief glare at Counselor Borst Phalia.
Or it may have been manipulated by the Empire,
he added pointedly.
Such things have happened before.
Leia looked at Phalia, too, wondering if the thinly veiled insult to his people would finally drive the Bothan out of his self-imposed silence. But Phalia just sat there, his eyes on the table, his cream-colored fur motionless, not speaking, not reacting, perhaps not even thinking. Eventually, she supposed, he would regain his verbal courage and a measure of his old political strength. But for now, with his false denunciation of Akbar still fresh in everyone's minds, he was in the middle of his species' version of penance. Leia's stomach tightened in frustration. Once again, the Bothan's inflexible, all-or-nothing approach to politics was running squarely counter to the New Republic's best interests. A few months earlier, Phalia's accusations against Akbar had wasted valuable time and energy. Now, when the Council needed every bit of insight and resourcefulness it could muster, including Phalia's, he was playing the silent martyr. There were days, and long dark nights, when Leia privately despaired of ever holding the New Republic together.
You're right, of course, Admiral,
Mon Mothma said with a sigh.
We need more information, and we need it quickly.
Talon Card's organization is still our best chance, Leia said. They've got the contacts both here and on the Imperial side. And from what Luke said in his last message, Card sounded interested.
We can't afford to wait on the convenience of a smuggler,
Akbar growled, his mouth tendrils stiffening with distaste.
What about General Bel Iblis? He was fighting alone against the Empire for several years.
The General has already turned his intelligence contacts over to us,
Mon Mothma said, a muscle in her cheek twitching.
So far, we're still integrating them into our own system.
I wasn't referring to his contacts,
Akbar said.
I meant the General himself. Why isn't he here?
Leia looked at Mon Mothma, her stomach tightening again. Garm Bel Iblis had been one of the early forces behind the consolidation of individual resistance units into the all-encompassing Rebel Alliance, and for years had formed a shadowy triad of leadership with Mon Mothma and Leia's own adoptive father, Bail Organa.
But when Organa died with his people in the Death Star's attack on Alderaan, and as Mon Mothma began subsequently to draw more and more power to herself, Bail Iblis had left the Alliance and struck out on his own. Since then, he had continued his private war against the Empire, until, almost by accident, he had crossed paths with fellow Corellian Han Solo. It was Han's urgent request that had brought Bail Iblis and his force of 6 dreadnoughts to the New Republic's aid at the Katana battle. Mon Mothma, speaking words about burying past differences, had welcomed Bail Iblis back, and had then turned around and sent him to bolster the defenses in the outer sectors of the New Republic, as far from Coruscant as he could possibly have gone. Leia was not yet ready to ascribe vindictiveness to Mon Mothma's decision, but there were others in the New Republic hierarchy who remembered Bail Iblis and his tactical genius, and not all of them were quite so willing to give Mon Mothma the benefit of the doubt.
"The General's expertise is needed at the battlefront," Mon Mothma said evenly.
"His expertise is also needed here,"
Akbar retorted. But Leia could hear the resignation in his voice. Akbar himself had just returned from a tour of the Farfin and Dolomar defenses, and would be leaving in the morning for Dantooine. With the Imperial War Machine on the move, the New Republic couldn't afford the luxury of burying their best line commanders away in ground-side offices.
"I understand your concerns," Mon Mothma said more gently. "When we get the situation out there stabilized, I fully intend to bring General Bail Iblis back and put him in charge of tactical planning." "If we get the situation stabilized,"
Leia amended silently, again feeling her stomach tighten. So far, the offensive was going uniformly the Empire's way. The thought broke off in mid-stride, a sudden belated awareness flooding in on her. No, it wasn't her stomach that was tightening. Akbar was speaking again.
"Excuse me,"
Leia cut him off, getting carefully to her feet.
"I'm sorry to interrupt, but I need to get down to medical."
Mon Mothma's eyes widened.
"The twins?"
Leia nodded.
"I think they're on their way."
The walls and ceiling of the birth room were a warm tan color, with a superimposed series of shifting lights that had been synchronized with Leia's own brainwave patterns. Theoretically, it was supposed to help her relax and concentrate. As a practical matter, Leia had already decided that after 10 hours of looking at it, the technique had pretty well lost its effectiveness.
"Another contraction came. The hardest one yet."
Automatically, Leia reached out with the Force, using the methods Luke had taught her to hold off pain coming from protesting muscles. If nothing else, this whole birth process was giving her the chance to practice her Jedi techniques, and not just those having to do with pain control.
"It's all right,"
she thought, soothingly toward the small minds within her.
"It's all right. Mother's here."
It didn't really help. Caught in forces they couldn't comprehend, their tiny bodies being squeezed and pushed as they were driven slowly toward the unknown. Their undeveloped minds were fluttering with fear. Though to be perfectly fair, their father wasn't in much better shape.
"You all right?"
Han asked for the umpteenth time since they'd come in here. He squeezed her hand a little more tightly, also for the umpteenth time, in sympathetic tension with her hunching shoulders.
"I'm still fine,"
Leia assured him. Her shoulders relaxed as the contraction ended, and she gave his hand a squeeze in return.
"You don't look so good, though."
Han made a face at her.
"It's past my bedtime,"
he said dryly.
"That must be it,"
Leia agreed. Han had been as nervous as a tauntaun on ball bearings ever since the labor started in earnest, but he was making a manly effort not to show it. More for her sake, Leia suspected, than for any damage such an admission might do to his image.
"Sorry."
"Don't worry about it."
Han threw a look to the side where the medic and the 2 MD droids were hovering around the business end of the birth bed.
"Looks like we're getting close, sweetheart."
"Count on it,"
Leia agreed. The last word strangled off as another contraction took her attention.
"Oh!"
Han's anxiety level jumped another notch.
"You all right?"
Leia nodded, throat muscles momentarily too tight to speak through.
Hold me on.
She breathed when she could talk again. Just hold me.
I'm right here,
he said quietly, sliding his free hand into a comfortable grip under her shoulder. She hardly heard him. Deep within her, the small lives that she and Han had created were starting to move. And abruptly, their fluttering fear had become full-blown terror.
Don't be afraid, she thought at them. Don't be afraid. It'll be all right. I'm here. Soon you'll be with me.
She wasn't really expecting a reaction. The twins' minds were far too undeveloped to understand anything as abstract as words or the concept of future events. But she continued anyway, wrapping them in their fear as best she could in her love and peace and comfort. There was another contraction. The inexorable movement toward the outside world continued. And then, to Leia's everlasting joy, one of the tiny minds reached back to her, touching her in a way that neither twin had ever responded to her non-verbal caresses before. The rising fear slowed in its advance, and Leia had the sudden mental image of a baby's hand curled tightly around her finger.
Yes, she told the infant. I'm your mother, and I'm here.
The tiny mind seemed to consider that. Leia continued her assurances, and the mind shifted a little away from her, as if the infant's attention had been drawn somewhere else. A good sign, she decided, if it was able to be distracted from what was happening to it. And then, to her amazement, the second mind's panic also began to fade. The second mind, which to the best of her knowledge had not yet even noticed her presence. Later, in retrospect, the whole thing would seem obvious, if not completely inevitable. But at that moment, the revelation was startling enough to send a shiver through the core of Leia's soul. The twins, growing together in the Force, even as they'd grown together within her, had somehow become attuned to each other. Attuned in a way and to a depth that Leia knew she herself would never entirely share. It was at that same time, one of the proudest and yet one of the most poignant moments of Leia's life. To get such a glimpse into the future, to see her children growing and strengthening themselves in the Force, and to know that there would be a part of their lives together that she would never share. The contraction eased, the grand and bittersweet vision of the future fading into a small nugget of ache in a corner of her mind, an ache that was made all the worse by the private shame that, in all of that flood of selfish emotion, it hadn't even occurred to her that Han would be able to share even less of their lives than she would. And suddenly, through the mental haze, a bright light seemed to explode in her eyes. Reflexively, she clutched harder at Han's hand.
What?
It's coming,
Han yelped, gripping back.
First one's halfway out.
Leia blinked, the half-imagined light vanishing as her mind fumbled free of her contact with her children. Her children, whose eyes had never had to deal with anything brighter than a dim, diffuse glow.
Turn that light down, she gasped. It's too bright. The children's eyes.
It's all right, the medic assured her. Their eyes will adjust, all right? One last push.
And then, seemingly without warning, the first part was suddenly over.
Got one,
Han told her, his voice sounding strangely breathless. He craned his neck.
It's our daughter.
He looked back at Leia, the tension in his face plastered over with the lopsided grin she knew so well.
Jaina.
Leia nodded.
Jaina,
she repeated. Somehow the names they'd decided on never sounded quite the same as they did right now.
What about Jason?
Offhand, I'd say he's anxious to join his sister,
the medic said dryly.
Get ready to push. He looks like he's trying to crawl out on his own. Okay? Push!
Leia took a deep breath. Finally, after 10 hours of labor, after 9 months of pregnancy, the end was finally in sight.
No, not the end. The beginning.
They laid the twins in her arms a few minutes later. And as she looked first at them and then up at Han, she felt a sense of utter peace settle over her. Out among the stars, there might be a war going on,
But for here, and for now, all was right with the universe.
Watch it, Rogue Leader!
The voice of Rogue 10 snapped in Wedge's ear.
You've picked up a tail!
Got it,
Wedge told him, cutting his X-Wing hard over. The TIE interceptor shot past, spitting laser fire as he went, and attempted to match Wedge's maneuver. Blurring in barely half a second behind the Imperial, a pursuing X-Wing blew him into a cloud of flaming dust.
Thanks, Rogate,
Wedge said, blowing a drop of sweat from the tip of his nose and checking his scanners. Temporarily, at least, it looked like their little corner of the melee was in the clear. Putting his X-Wing into a slow turn, he gave the overall battle scene a quick assessment. It was worse than he'd feared. Worse, for that matter, than it had been even 5 minutes ago. Two more Victory-class Star Destroyers had appeared from hyperspace, dropping into mauling position at point-blank range from one of their three remaining Calamari Star Cruisers. And at the rate the Star Destroyers were pouring turbolaser fire into it...
Rogue Squadron, change course to 22 Mark 8,
he ordered, turning onto the intercept heading, and wondering how in blazes the Imperials had managed this one. Making so precise a jump was difficult under ideal circumstances. To do so into the heat and confusion of a battle should have been well nigh impossible. Just one more example of the Empire's incredible new talent for coordinating their forces. There was a warning twitter from the astromech droid riding in the socket behind him. They were now registering too close to a large mass to jump to light speed. Wedge glanced around with a frown. Finally spotted the interdictor cruiser hovering off in the distance, keeping well out of the main battle itself. Apparently, the Imperials didn't want any of the New Republic ships sneaking out of the party early. Dead ahead, some of the Victory Star Destroyer's TIE fighters were sweeping up to meet them.
Porkins formation!
Wedge ordered his team.
Watch out for flankers! Star Cruiser Orthovan, this is Rogue Squadron. We're coming in!
Stay there, Rogue Leader!
A gravelly Mon Calamari voice said.
We're too badly overmatched! You can't help us!
Wedge gritted his teeth. The Mon Cal was probably right.
We're going to try anyway,
he told the other. The advancing TIE fighters were almost in range now.
Hang on!
Rogue Squadron, this is Bell Iblis,
a new voice cut in.
Break off your attack. On my mark, cut 30 degrees to port side.
With an effort, Wedge suppressed the urge to say something that would probably have earned him a court-martial. On his list, as long as the ship was in one piece, there was still hope of saving it. Apparently, the great General Bell Iblis had decided otherwise.
Copy, General,
he sighed.
Rogue Squadron, stand by.
Rogue Squadron, mark.
Obediently, reluctantly, Wedge swung his X-Wing to the side. The TIE fighter shifted course to follow, seemed to suddenly get flustered. And with a roar that carried clearly even through the tenuous gases of interplanetary space, an assault formation of A-Wings shot through the space Rogue Squadron had just exited. The TIE fighters, already in motion to match the X-Wing's maneuver, were caught flat-footed. Before they could get back into barricade position, the A-Wings were past them, heading at full throttle for the embattled Star Cruiser.
Okay, Rogue Squadron,
Bell Iblis said.
Your turn. Clear their backs for them.
Wedge grinned tightly. He should have known better of Bell Iblis.
Copy, General. Rogue Squadron, let's take them.
And then, prepare to retreat.
Wedge blinked, the grin fading. Retreat? Turning his X-Wing toward the TIE fighters, he looked back at the main battle area. A few minutes earlier, he'd realized the situation had looked bad. Now it was on the edge of disaster. Bell Iblis's force was down to barely two-thirds of the 15 capital ships he'd started with most of those huddled into a last-ditch bastion formation. Surrounding it, systematically battering at its defenses, were over 20 Star Destroyers and Dreadnoughts. Wedge looked back at the approaching TIE fighters, and beyond them, to the Interdictor Cruiser. The Interdictor Cruiser, whose gravity well projectors were keeping the beleaguered battle force from escaping to light speed. And then they were on the TIE fighters, and there was no more time for thought. The battle was sharp, but short. The sudden appearance of the A-Wings from Rogue Squadron's shadow had apparently thrown the TIE fighters just enough off stride. 3 minutes, maybe four, and Rogue Squadron was again in the clear.
What now, Rogue Leader?
Rogue Two asked as the squadron reformed through the debris.
Mentally crossing his fingers, Wedge looked back at the Orthovan. If Bell Iblis's gamble hadn't worked...
It had. The A-Wing slash had distracted the Victory Star Destroyer's attack just enough for the Star Cruiser to catch its breath and go back on the offensive. The Orthovan had both its extensive turbo laser and ion cannon batteries going, scrambling the Imperial systems and pummeling away at their hulls. Even as Wedge watched, a geyser of superheated gas erupted from the midsection of the nearer Star Destroyer, sending the ship rotating ponderously away. Pulling under the derelict's hull, the Star Cruiser moved away from the battle and headed for the Interdictor Cruiser.
Change course for the Orthovan, Wedge ordered. They may need backup.
The words were barely out of his mouth when, shooting in from light speed, a pair of dreadnoughts suddenly appeared at the Orthovan's flank.
Wedge held his breath,
but the Star Cruiser was already moving too fast for the dreadnoughts to get more than a wild shot at it. It passed them without pausing, and as they turned to follow it, the A-Wing squadron reenacted their earlier slash maneuver. Once again, the distraction's effectiveness was vastly out of proportion to the actual damage inflicted. By the time the starfighters broke off, the Orthovan was beyond any chance the dreadnoughts might have to catch up, and the Imperials knew it. Behind Wedge, the astromech droid beeped. The pseudo-gravity field was fading away as the distant Interdictor Cruiser shut down its gravity well projectors in preparation for its own escape to light speed.
The Interdictor Cruiser! And belatedly, the explanation struck him. He'd been wrong.
Those Victory Star Destroyers hadn't needed to rely on any half-mystical coordination technique to jump in so close to the Star Cruiser. All they'd had to do was fly in along a hyperspace vector supplied to them by the Interdictor Cruiser and wait until the edge of the gravity well cone yanked them back into normal space. Wedge felt his lip twist. Overestimating the enemy's abilities, he'd been taught a long time ago, could be just as dangerous as underestimating them. It was a lesson he would have to start remembering.
Interdictor grav field is down.
Bell Iblis's voice came in his ear.
All units, acknowledge, and prepare to retreat on your marks.
Rogue Squadron, copy,
Wedge said, grimacing as he turned onto their pre-planned escape vector and looked back at what was left of the main battle group. There was no doubt about it. They'd been beaten, and beaten badly. And about all Bell Iblis's legendary tactical skill had been able to do had been to keep the defeat from turning into a rout. And the price was likely to be yet another system lost to the Empire.
Rogue Squadron, go!
Copy,
Wedge sighed, and pulled back the hyperspace lever.
And as the stars flared into star lines, a sobering thought occurred to him. For the foreseeable future, at least, underestimating the Empire was not likely to be all that much of a problem.